It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Enjoyed the singing this morning. We do feel a little under the weather this morning, but that's okay. Y'all just pray for me. God will get us through this. The title of the message this morning is, What Will It Take? What Will It Take? And I started on this a little bit at the end of the homecoming service and then told you a little bit of a story. And told you we'd get back to that. We're going to get back to it this morning. And even though Terry thought that he didn't get back to it last Sunday, actually he did. He touched on it quite a bit and bounced around it quite a bit. And I thought, well, it doesn't need to be preached. But God said, oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. So we're going to continue with what the Lord laid on our heart during the homecoming service. Turn with us, if you would, to Luke, the 18th chapter is where we're going to start at this morning. Luke 18, verses 18 through 27. Please stand for the reading of the Word. Says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You may be seated. Now we see here that Jesus told this man something. He said, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. Now I want to emphasize on something this morning. It's not this man's riches. It's not the fact that the man had money that was a problem. It's not a problem for God for people to have money. It's not a problem for God for people to be financially sound. But this man's problem was that money was more important to him than the Lord. That money was more important to him than anything. It was the very basis of his life, if you will. He put that before anything. And that was the thing that was going to separate him from God. And God knew that. The Lord knew that. And the Lord spoke to him and he said, get rid of this because it's going to be an obstacle for you. It's going to be a challenge for you. And see, God knows what's in our lives that's going to be an obstacle for us. He knows the things that are in our lives that are going to be a stumbling block for us. They're going to keep us from serving Him fully and completely. I want to tell you this morning, the man told Jesus, he said, I've kept your commandments from my youth up. I've always been a good person. Church, it's more to it than just being a good person. It's more to it than just following the commandments. It's more to it than just coming to church whenever the doors are open. There's more to it than that. When you want a real relationship with Him, you've got to sell everything out for Him. Go and follow Him. Trust in Him. Put your confidence in Him. And put everything else aside. Make Him the most important thing in your life. Get to know Him. It's more to it than just knowing who He is and knowing about Him. I'm talking this morning about a personal relationship with Him. One where you're close with Him. Where you know the attributes of Him. Where He knows the attributes of you. Where you can spend time with Him. When everything else seems like it's falling apart in your life. When it seems like everything is just miserable. You can spend time with Him. I'm talking precious quality time with the Lord. Where nothing else matters. Because that's the place that we have to be in. We have to be in a place where nothing else matters but Him. Because when we get to that place and we put Him first in our life, everything else will fall into place. When you have problems, why, sure you'll have problems. When you have turmoil and trouble in your life, why, sure you will. But he'll be there for you. And he'll work it out, church. Trust me. He will work it out. I hope we're not scaring the children this morning. Y'all know me long enough, and maybe some of you don't know me. You haven't been around much, but y'all know me. Most of you have known me long enough to know that I just preach it the way God gives it to me. Sometimes he preaches it hard through me. Sometimes he preaches it easy through me. I don't care which way he does it, because I know the after effect. He knows what he's doing. As long as I get myself out of the way and just let him work through me, everything will work out, right? And he's so good to his church. Sometimes I can't understand why he's so good to us. But he is, and he chooses to be good to us because he loves us. But there's more to it than just being a good person. There's more to it than just coming to church. He told the churches in the book of Revelations, the first few chapters there, he told the churches, he said, and he kept telling them, he said, I know your works. He told one church, he said, I even know your faith. He told one, he said, I know how you hate those that are evil. He told all these churches, he said, I know that you do this. And that's good. I'm glad that you do that. It's imperative that you do those things. But there's more to it. Somewhere along the way, you've lost something. You've disagreed with me. You've put other things before me. You put other gods before me. So therefore, I have somewhat against you. There's more to it, church, than just having good works. There's more to it than just having faith. There's more to it than just hating evil and despising evil ways. There's more to it than that. It's going to take you selling completely out to him. Putting everything else aside. And knowing and making him the most important thing in your life. Because that's the way that it has to be. Right? He said he'll have no other gods before him. He's a very jealous God, church. And he deserves the right to be. He's earned it, I think. Right? He's given enough for us that he's earned that right. And he doesn't do it out of arrogance. But he does it because of his concern for us. Because as I told you, he knew what that young man's problem was going to be. He knew the thing that was going to give him turmoil. He knew the thing that was going to give him trouble. He knew the thing that was going to come between him and God. And he tried to instruct him. He tried to reason with him and make him understand this thing is something that you need to get rid of. He's telling you this morning, maybe I'm not specifying your situation. Maybe I'm not specifying your stumbling block. But he's still telling you the same thing this morning. Whatever you've got between you and him, get rid of it this morning. He's tired of seeing people hurting because there are things between them and God. He's tired of seeing people struggle because there are things between them and God. Can you understand something this morning? His desire is that you would prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. That's his desire this morning. That's his wish. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, his desire is that you would get saved. His word says, I would that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his desire. Is that we would live for him, serve him fully and completely. So, not so to, because, listen to me, church, his life is not based on us. Our lives are based on him. He can get by without us. Church, we can't get by without him. It's imperative that we understand that this morning. That we give him what he deserves. Because without Him, we don't have that relationship. We don't have that continuity. And church, we need that to survive. We truly do. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts 28, verse 27. And then I'm going to turn, as soon as I read that verse of Scripture, I'm going to go to Acts 26. So Acts 28, verse 27, it says, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Acts 26, verses 19 through 32. It says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor of Bernice, and they that sat with them, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. That's a lot of reading. I want you to realize something here. I want you to understand what Paul said. He said, Agrippa knows. He said, Agrippa understands. He said, Festus, you might think I've lost it. And there's some of you here this morning that might look at me and say, Man, Brother Rob's lost it. I don't know how he can think that we can live the way that he's expecting us to live. Church, it ain't how I expect you to live. It ain't important how I expect or what I expect. It's what this Word expects of us and how it expects us to live. The standards that are set before us. It's easy to understand, church. These are the standards we're supposed to live by. Not my standards, not your standards, not the church covenant standards, but the Word of God is what we're supposed to live by. That's our standards. He said, He knows. He was telling Festus, he said, He knows. Festus, he knows, beyond a shadow of a doubt. He knows what he's doing is wrong. He knows that he needs God in his life. He knows that he needs to be saved today. But he just might not admit it. Agrippa said, the saddest thing in the world, Paul, you almost got me. Man, you almost talked me into it. You were this close. You almost had me. I just can't do it. Some of you are probably sitting here this morning saying, Brother Rob, you almost got me. Man, Terry almost had me last week. I'm this close. But man, you just don't understand how much pleasure there is in the life that I'm living. I sure do understand. What do you think, that I was immune to sin? You think I've never lived in sin? You think that I've never lived a life of sin? Sure I did. I knew exactly, church, I want you to understand here this morning, I knew exactly what I was giving up the day that I got saved. And was it hard for me to give it up? It sure was hard for me to give it up. But I can stand before you this morning with an honest heart and tell you the last 20 years of my life have been the best 20 years of my life. Because I finally decided that there's got to be something better than what I'm living today. There's got to be something more than what I'm participating in today. There's got to be something better than the drugs. There's got to be something better than the alcohol. And he showed me that there was. First he told me that there was. Through a good man of God, he said, I'm talking to you. The man of God didn't say it. He didn't come and get up in my face and say, I'm talking to you specifically. But God said, I'm talking to you specifically through that man. And you better heed what I'm saying to you this morning. I realized, I understood, I knew. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Church, it takes something different for everybody. If I was to go through this church house this morning and say, what was it that caused you to get saved? Every one of you would have a different answer this morning. Some of you might say, well, I was on my way to prison and it scared me and I decided that I needed something different. Some of you might say, well, I was in an automobile accident and I was laying on my back about to die in a hospital and I decided I needed something different in my life. Some of you might say, well, everything was just falling apart all around me and I was scared to death that there wasn't no answer. So I finally gave hope to God. Every one of you would have a different answer. I can tell you this morning, and I'm not proud of it, but there were many times in my life that I was laying back on my back about to die. I can tell you that there were many times in my life that I had overdosed and almost died. I can tell you there was many times in my life that I was on my way to prison for things that I had done. And none of those things shook me. Like that morning when that preacher said, you're going to die and go to hell. It shook me, church. That's the thing that it took for me. It wasn't a fear of prison. It wasn't a fear of dying. It was the fear of spending an eternity in hell. It takes something different for everybody, church. It sure does. It takes something different for every one of you. But something, there's one thing that we have to understand this morning. It doesn't matter your reason. It doesn't matter what it took for you. The thing is, the important thing is that you get saved. And that after you get saved, you make Him the most important thing in your life. That's what's important. It ain't getting caught up in, well, you know what, I just didn't sin as much as Brother Rob. It doesn't matter. Well, you know, I didn't go the way that this person went or the way that that person went. It doesn't matter. Well, I didn't spend as much time on my knees as this person did or that person did. That doesn't matter. What matters is that you put everything else aside and make Him the most important part of your life. That's what matters. That's what matters. Everything else is irrelevant. I'm not telling you that your wife shouldn't be important to you, or your husband shouldn't be important to you, or your children shouldn't be important to you. I'd be a fool to stand up here and say those things to you this morning. But I'm telling you this morning, they can't come before God. He's got to be first, church. And trust me, when you have the love of the Lord, all those other things will come. Amen. I'm going to tell you, church, there wasn't much I loved when I was lost. My grandma, and I think that's probably about it. That's sad. That's sad. And I harbored, church, I harbored a lot of bitterness in my life. But when God saved me, He gave me a love. See, when I showed my love to God, He showed His love to me. Don't get me wrong, His love was there, always there. But what I'm saying is, He showed His love to me, how I should love. Amen? Not that He didn't always love me, because He always loved me, but He showed me how I was supposed to love. His love. Not a conditional love. Not a love based on stipulations. But just love. And now I love those very people that I hated before. Isn't that amazing? And you're going to say, well, Brother Robbie, do they love you back? Some of them don't. Some of them sure don't. Some of them still hate me. And some of them hate me even more. Because all I want to talk about when I get around them is Jesus. And it makes them despise me. And some of them look at me and say, man, that church stuff sure has messed you up. I got a bunch of Festuses that I run across every now and again, church. Man, you done lost it, Brother Rob. What happened to you, man? You used to be one of us. Something did happen to me. I praise Him that it did. So I don't know where I'd be today if it hadn't. I know I have problems today. I know I face trials. I know I face tribulations. But every one of them that I face with Him. I'm not by myself. I'm not without hope. I'm not without help. I have somebody to go through every bit of that with me. But King Agrippa said, you almost persuaded me. King Agrippa's problem was the same problem that Paul talked about in the 27th verse, in verse 28 again in Acts. He said, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Church, there's a multitude of people today that will hear the Word of God, whether here or somewhere else. They will listen to the Word of God, but they won't truly hear. They'll look upon the man of God delivering the message, but they won't truly see. And they won't be able to apply it to their heart because they've made themselves dull of hearing. They're letting it go in one ear and out the other ear. They don't want to hear it. They look at the man of God and they say, well, he just doesn't meet my criteria. He just doesn't put me in mind of a good preacher. I just don't like the way that he presents the ponderance of evidence. It just offends me. I don't like it that he's got a mustache. I don't like it that his tie's crooked. It sounds foolish, church, but I'm telling you this morning, truthfully and honestly, that there are people who will let those little things, little nitpicky things, keep them from coming to repentance. They will hear the Word of God from just an instrument. It doesn't matter what the instrument looks like. When you go to a restaurant to get something to eat, you don't go back there and say, "Excuse me, Mr. Chef, but I'd like to see the pot that you cooked my meat in. I'd like to see the spoon that you used to stir it with." Because, you know, if it don't look a certain way, I just ain't going to eat it. I'm just not going to receive it. Sounds foolish, don't it? The church is the truth. It doesn't matter what I look like to you this morning or how I present the evidence. What you need to keep in mind is I'm just the pot. Just a vessel. And you need to keep in mind that God loves you so much this morning. That He sent this message to you through this old dirty, beat up, battered pot. It's not by coincidence that you're here. It's not by circumstance that you're here. It's just you're here because God knew that you needed to be here today. It's not by coincidence that I preached this message this morning. He knew that you needed this message this morning. The Bible says in Luke 16 that there was a rich man who had plenty. And that there was a man named Lazarus that was begging just for the crumbs at the table. And the man wouldn't share. The Bible goes on to say that both men died. One went to Abraham's bosom, the other went to hell. It says that the rich man lifted his eyes in torment and ask Abraham, "Would you send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in some cool water and give me some relief this morning of the torment that I'm in?" Abraham told him, he said, "You know," he said, "when you was alive, you had plenty. And Lazarus had none." Paraphrasing a little, if you will, now the tables are turned. And even if Lazarus was willing to come, he couldn't. Because there is a great gulf fixed between you and us. He said, "Would you let him go? That he might warn my brothers." Church, you have been offered an opportunity this morning. You've been given something this morning that a multitude, listen to me this morning, a multitude of people in hell wish they had. An opportunity at salvation. The opportunity to repent of your sins. Now it's your choice. It's absolutely your choice. You know this morning, just as Paul told Agrippa, you know. You have the knowledge. You have the understanding. Church, you know where you stand this morning with God. You don't need me to come and bat you upside the head and tell you where you stand with Him. You already know. Don't be like Agrippa this morning. Don't say, "Brother Rob, you almost persuaded me. You almost had me. You came so close."
I'm like Paul this morning. I would to God that not only almost but altogether you would come to repentance. I don't know your heart this morning. I surely don't. But I tell you this morning, if you have anything between you and God that's separating you from His love and His tender mercy, you have an opportunity this morning to get it out of the way. To live for Him and to serve Him in spirit and in truth. That you may have a blessed hope of eternity with Him. That's your morning message. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.